Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. Well, recently there was a controversy over the U.S. president holding up a Bible in a photo shoot. And a rival politician said that the president should open it to see what it says. Well, that's some pretty good advice. I don't know who's opening it or who's not between the two of them, but it is worth thinking about the Bible and what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Can you prove that the Bible speaks with divine authority? In other words, if the Bible did come from God, shouldn't we pay the utmost attention to what it says? Now, many people know that the Bible is the best-selling book of all time. Over the last 200 years, there have been over 2.5 billion copies sold. And once you start thinking about the addition of online Bibles and the Bible apps that are available today, well, nearly everyone can get their hands on a Bible if they want to. So obtaining a Bible isn't usually an issue, but what about reading it and understanding it? Oftentimes, the Bible is like a piece of exercise equipment that a person might buy. They want to use it to get physically fit, but it often ends up sitting unused in a corner. A treadmill becomes a place to hang clothing, maybe. Well, that can happen with physical equipment, exercise equipment, but the same thing can happen with the Bible. The Bible contains information for physical and spiritual well-being, and yet, like that exercise equipment, it too often ends up unopened on the shelf, just sitting there. Notice this quote from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course. This is a free course at thetrumpet.com. And if you don't have it, please sign up for it and take it. It's free, and it's a wonderful course. And it says, "This book of books, talking about the Bible, unveils the secrets of human life, how we got here, why we were born, and where we are headed. It reveals and describes some of the details of creation, the Creator's purpose for man, and His master plan for accomplishing that purpose. What lies ahead for mankind?" People think about that sometimes. Well, what's coming in the future? Where are current events leading to? What's it going to be like in a month or a year? Well, the Bible talks about all of those things. History, the present, the future, how to live, how to think, how to act. The Bible is full of very essential information, and it's for the good of all mankind. And yet, far too often, like that piece of exercise equipment that was bought with good intentions but just not used, the Bible can end up just sitting there, not being of value. What good is the Bible if we don't study it and apply it? We have to study the Bible and apply what it says. We can call the Bible, the Maker's Instruction Manual, if you want to think of it that way. That is what Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong called it. He called it the Maker's Instruction Manual. You're a human being, as am I, and so how do we function? What's the best way for us to succeed in this life and to work? Well, the Bible tells us. Notice two things here that we can look at from the Bible, and there's a lot we can glean from the Bible, but we'll look at two big points, two main things that we can grab from the Bible, if we'll open it and study it. One thing that the Bible does is it shows us the cause of today's evils. The Bible shows us the cause of today's evils. You may have noticed there's a lot of problems in this world, and the Bible shows us why. Notice this in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. We have a few passages today, so if you'd like to read along with me, please grab your Bible, and we'll look at these together. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. who can know it? Very short passage, but so profound. No matter a person's age, no matter their gender, no matter their race, all have a common battle on their hands. Each human being has a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And of course, Satan heavily influences the thinking of mankind. We need God's Spirit to change our heart, to change our thinking. We have to start thinking differently. And this is one simple truth, that the wickedness of man's heart, and of course, as swayed by Satan, is the cause of all the evils we see on this earth. Every evil, from something that may seem small in the sense that it impacts one or two people, to the much larger issues that impact cities or countries or the whole world. All of it comes from this cause here, a deceitful heart, desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. And so we see the cause of evils. God's word reveals that that is the cause of evils, this wicked heart, and of course Satan as well, and we'll look at that in a moment. But we have to understand the cause of evils. And now the wonderful thing about seeing the cause of a problem is that we can begin to work at the solution. So when we look in the Bible and we see that there's some problems, there's some things that need to be corrected, well, we could take, I guess, one of two approaches. We could be negative about that and discouraged, or we could be very positive about it and say, well, at least now I know what the cause is. I can work on that. You know, I can fix the problem. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to change. His word talks about that as well. He doesn't want anyone to suffer and die and have terrible results at the end of their life or during their life because of their actions. He wants to see success and growth. But we have to understand the cause of the problems that we see. We see that, as Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 shows, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's revealed knowledge from God through His Bible. We wouldn't know that if God didn't reveal it in His Bible, and we wouldn't know it unless we opened the Bible and read it. Notice another point here within this first main point of understanding the cause of today's world evils. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Remember, Satan sways the unsuspecting minds of mankind to cause great evils. Satan has his part in this too. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. It says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So this is talking to God's people, those that have been called out and that God is working with. And it's saying, look, in time past, before your calling, you walked like this world walks. And of course, you can tell from this that this is the way the world walks in general, according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. What type of a spirit is that? Well, as it says, it's the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. You may have noticed some disobedience on your headlines, on your news. There's all kinds of problems in the world and fighting and warring. It's disobedience. Well, where does it come from? It comes from Satan, the devil, swaying the hearts of man, making those hearts go a very bad direction. Those hearts are then wicked hearts, and Satan's influencing them. As God reveals in His Word, the course or direction of this world is according to the prince of the power of the air, and that's Satan the devil. His wicked broadcasts influence the children of disobedience. So when you see people fighting and rioting and accusing and every other evil, what you are seeing there is Satan broadcasting into people's moods and emotions, and they're acting and they are reacting to situations as Satan influences them. Have you ever felt those types of emotions, negative moods and emotions? Sure, everyone has. It's a battle that every human being has to fight. Now, some act on those impulses and those moods and emotions more than others. It takes God's Spirit to open our minds to understand Satan's broadcasts and then empower us to fight against it. Often when somebody does something in a fit of anger or gets involved in a bad situation and commits an evil, They usually don't think about Satan and his broadcasting and the fact that that mood and that attitude isn't normal. It's Satan's broadcast. So we have to understand Satan's broadcast and then fight against it. Fight against it. You will not see God's people rioting. You just won't see that. There are things in this world that people get involved in sometimes, and God's people don't get involved in those activities. But without God's revealed word, how would we ever know that Satan is influencing mankind? How would we ever know that? We would never know, because we don't see him. He's invisible. But God's revealed word tells us. Without the Bible, we don't understand the cause of today's evils. But with the Bible, we can understand the cause. And then we can work on a solution as well. And the Bible gives us solutions. So when we look in the Bible, one thing we really do begin to understand is the cause of today's evils. And that leads to a very good question. And it leads into our second point here as far as what we can glean from the Bible. Somebody might ask, okay, so you're talking a little bit about evil and so forth. Well, what is evil? What is good? That's a great question to ask. The Bible shows us the difference between good and evil. Not only does the Bible show us the cause of evil, it shows us the difference between good and evil. Without God's revealed word in the Holy Bible, we simply would not know what's good and what's evil. We'd have an opinion, but we wouldn't know the truth. We have to get that from the Bible. Many people think that mankind just sort of knows what is good and evil. It just has sort of a sense about it. Well, you know, one might think this is good, and another might think that's bad, and, you know, they have different thoughts on it. But only God defines good and evil. Only God's word defines good and evil. So if you take an example of, say, two countries fighting each other for control of the world, a world war or a battle for control of an area, and if you ask the citizens of each country or each area, who is fighting for good and who is fighting for evil? Well, depending on which area you ask, you'll get a different answer, won't you? So what's the answer? What's good and what's evil? We have to go to God's word to determine it. People have different viewpoints on topics and what they might consider to be good or what they might consider to be evil. Or sometimes you'll hear somebody say, oh, it's the lesser of two evils. You know, they're both bad, but this one's a little better. Well, we can get into all sorts of reasoning there, but without the Bible, we simply don't know good from evil. We don't. God's word reveals what is good, and it reveals what is evil. Notice this in Psalm 119 and verse 172. Psalms 119 and verse 172. It says, my tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. What is righteousness? It's God's commandments. Living by God's commandments. That's righteousness. God's law is righteousness. That is revealed knowledge. That only comes from the Bible. That wasn't my thought. I read it to you out of Psalms 119 and verse 172. God inspired the psalmist to write that. That's God's word. It's revealed knowledge. We wouldn't know that otherwise. Now, while most people can intellectually understand those words there in Psalms 119 and verse 172, few actually strive to live by every word of God. So, you know, a person could read that sentence and say, okay, all your commandments are righteousness, and maybe even agree with it. But then how many people actually go on to strive to live by those words? Not very many. And of course, God has to call somebody to have their mind open to what his words mean and understand the intent and the depth, and then have an attitude to actually follow. And that takes God's spirit to do that. Notice here another clarifying passage in 1 John 3 and verse 4, talking about what is good, what is evil. Well, God determines it. His word determines it. 1 John 3 and verse 4, it says, whosoever commits sin transgresses the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. That's a question that people might ask from time to time. Well, what is sin? Sin is a transgression of the law, God's law. We just read how all of God's commandments are righteousness. Well, transgressing those commandments, transgressing that law, that is sin. God defines what is good and what is evil. Sin, which of course is evil, is transgressing the law of God. And yet, if we look at society today, many sins are not only condoned, but they're celebrated. They're put on stage, so to speak. They're made to be something that everyone focuses on and talks about and pays attention to, and they're glorified. And yet, they're against God's law. Well, in many homes, the Bible sits there silently on the shelf, defining good and evil, and it's ignored in many cases, and sin is celebrated. That's the state of mankind. We need to get into the Word of God, or else we don't know good from evil. We don't know what the cause of evils are, and yet the fruits of those evil acts and evil thoughts permeate the society which we live in today. Is God surprised by how man treats his law? Did he know that man would probably do this as Satan inspires them? Well, we can let God answer in his Holy Bible. Notice Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Isaiah 5 and verse 20. This is important because God's not caught off guard. He's not surprised, but he has a plan to get man going the right direction. But he talked about through the prophet Isaiah what it would be like in our time today. See if this is familiar to you. Isaiah 5 and verse 20. It says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Everything's flipped upside down. People are calling good evil and they're calling evil good. Isn't that true? Don't you see that? God has 10 basic commandments. And I think most people know roughly what they are, at least some of them. And yet, breaking of those is often called good, and keeping them is often called evil. Well, that's exactly what Isaiah prophesied. Of course, God was showing him what things would be like. God perfectly prophesied what society would be like today. People riot in the cities. They destroy, they harm. And a lot of people say, that's pretty good. It's good that they're getting out there. It's good that they're burning and yelling and destroying. That's good. But which laws of God command that people riot? Are there any laws that you can think of that say, go out into the streets and riot? I don't know of any in the Bible that say that, but people do it. Now, on the other side, are there laws of God that forbid rioting and violence and theft and destruction of property? Of course there are. The spirit of God's law certainly is against all of that. But specifically, murder is forbidden. Stealing is forbidden. Lying is forbidden. And you see all of that happening in these destructive activities that sometimes take the headlines. God's law forbids that type of activity, and people say no. Going out and doing something like that, being violent, burning somebody else's property down, that's good. That's good because there's a message that has to be gotten out. It's against God's law. God's law, his word, defines good and evil. I wonder how many people go out and riot or commit other evils, and then they go home, and in their house on the shelf, there sits a Bible. I would imagine quite a few. I mean, Bibles are very popular. They're in most houses. And that's really something for all of us to think about pretty deeply. When we return home at the end of the day, and we stop and think about some of the things we did that day or said that day, what is God's word say about those actions or those thoughts? How often do we really stop and open up the Bible and look and see what God's word says? And then modify our actions and our thinking accordingly. It's easy to have it sitting there on the shelf, the Bible, like that piece of exercise equipment in the corner, and look at it once in a while and think, I really need to get more into that. I should really pay more attention to that. I should really use that to my benefit, and then just not do it. It really takes a lot of courage to look into the Word of God and see where we need to change and grow and improve. But it helps us. It benefits us. Just like hopping on the treadmill or whatever that equipment would be, it would be beneficial. But it has to be used. The Correspondence Course says, we must recognize that the Holy Bible is radically different from all other so-called sacred literature. It asserts that it is the divinely inspired writings of a supreme deity. No other sacred literature makes such a claim as this. Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10 say, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. See, if you look into Bible prophecy, it proves God's word true. Because he said some things, he had some things written down many years ago, and you can see where they've come to pass, and then you can project ahead and see where they are coming to pass. The quote continues and says, can we really know whether Almighty God himself delivered this book to man? Can we know that? Well, we can, of course. But there's an interesting challenge here that you might want to take on. And we'll look at this in Malachi 3 and verse 10. God gives us a challenge here. It says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, says the Eternal of Hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, this specific example is talking about the tithing command. God says, if you tithe to my work, you support my work, I'm going to bless you. But there's a principle here as well, beyond tithing. There's a principle. And that is, if we do what God says in his word, then we will have the desired results that God promises. We can prove God's word true. We prove the word of God by applying it. And one way or the other, we all prove God's word true, because God promises blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. You can read the whole chapter of Leviticus 26 and see all the details there. Blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience. And so we can prove God, we can prove his word true by positively looking into his word and then diligently applying it. Without God's word, we don't know the cause of the evils in this world or problems we may have personally. We don't know the cause of it. We don't understand that without God's word. And without God's word, we simply can't see the solutions to those problems either. We don't see the solutions to those problems that sometimes we all face and that we all have to work with. We don't know the difference between good and evil without looking into the Word of God. I think we can begin to see how valuable the Bible is. We don't want it to be like that old treadmill or that old rowing machine or whatever else that maybe we've gotten over the years and just haven't used as effectively as we should have. That afflicts too many people. It's an easy thing to fall into, just not really taking care of ourselves the way that we intended to physically. But how about spiritually as well? We don't want the Bible to be like that exercise equipment that just never gets used. Let's make sure we open our Bibles. Put God to the test. Put his word to the test. Do it and see what results. And really use the word of God as it's intended to benefit your life. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.